Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Limited Q2 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO of Shriram Transport Finance Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Okay. I shall initially provide a brief overview of macroeconomic scenario and development on the ground before I share the highlight of the performance. GDP growth in India has decelerated from 5.8% in the quarter of January to March to 5% in the quarter of April to June. This is attributable to global slowdown and overall subdued economic activity in the recent quarters, which had spiraling effect on the demand and consumption in domestic market. The latest economic survey estimates that India's real GDP growth is expected to slide to a seven-year low of 5.9% in  2019-20. The government, reacting to the situation, has implemented multiple measures to accelerate the economic growth and also to address ailing sector of the economy. In a major boost to the domestic industry in September 2019, government has announced a cut in effective corporate tax rate by around 10% to 25.17%. Further, for new manufacturing units set up after October 1st, 2019, the corporate tax has been reduced to 15%. This has significantly enhanced India's competitiveness on the regional basis. Outlining the vision for progress towards $5 trillion economy, the government has sought to simplify tax compliance and announced a massive investment of $1.4 trillion in infrastructure over the next 5 years, and also indicated the intention to undertake large-scale disinvestment. The other initiative includes resolution of blocked funds due to pending GST refunds, urging banks to increase lending to small business and simplifying KYC process for NBFC. The RBI has announced a cut of 25 basis points in repo rate in October 2019, amounting to cumulative cuts till date of 135 BPS over the last 12 months. Further, to catalyze the transmission of lower rates, the RBI also has suggested banks to link their lending rates to an external benchmark. In addition, the RBI also has reduced risk weight on unsecured personal loan and individual vehicle loan from 125% to 100% to encourage banks to lend more to these sectors. These measures are aimed at improving credit flow and should spur demand and consumption. While the monsoons were late in their onset, the rainfall has been quite good and recorded 107% of long-term period average. As always, the distribution was uneven, but reports from across the country indicate that season has been largely very positive for the most of the geography. Overall, abundant rainfall has led to increased groundwater level and reservoir across the country, and also it is likely to help the crops in the coming 2 quarters. Due to slower economic growth and pause in activity around general election in Q1 and also seasonal downtick during the monsoon, the CV industry has been slow to add capacity. In September 2019, for the 6 months, the sector has been reporting for last 6 months decline, and for the period of April to September, M&HCV witnessed large decline of 39.06, while LCV witnessed a drop of 15.56 over the same period last year. This can also be attributed to the improved vehicle efficiency in the recent quarters, as well as revised axle norms introduced in July 2018, which resulted in almost 15 to 20% increase in load carrying capacity of the fleet operators, and thereby causing one-time jump in capacity. While the operators are taking time to absorb this additional capacity, people are also deferring purchase decision due to the implementation of BS6 implementation around April 1st week in the 2020. The pre-buying demand, which we expected to start from September onwards, is likely to start from January onwards, that is 3 months prior to the implementation. However, the demand for used CVs continues to be good across the, all the geography, especially more so in the rural market. And we have been able to reach to the rural market and increase our presence in the new areas. On the liquidity front, overall situation is much better now due to measures undertaken by the government and RBI. At STFC, we have successfully completed several issuances and successfully diversified our liability base. Recently, we raised $200 million from international IFC, the investment arm of World Bank, and also raised additional $250 million on tap of previous USD bond issue. The proceeds will be used for meeting our funding requirement, funding requirements in the new geographies. Coming to the headline numbers in this quarter, AUM grew by 3.58 year on year to 1,08,120 crores against 1,04,379 crores in the same quarter previous year. The net interest margin stood at 2036 crores compared to 2050 crores in Q2 FY19. The net interest margin was 7.19 compared to 7.52 in the same quarter previous year. PAT is up by 25.5% year on year to 765 crores against 609.58 crores in Q2 of previous year. This is also partly due to adjustment in tax provisioning for lower effective tax rate. Since the tax provision in Q1 was at higher rate, Q2 provision includes some write back. Earning per share was at 33.72 compared to 26.86 in Q2 FY19. In the light of sustained performance, Board of Directors have proposed an interim dividend of 5 per share. Stage 3 NPA stood at 8.8% in the second quarter against 8.64 corresponding last year. The overall credit cost, which was around 2.49 in Q2 FY19, has come down to 2.31, and we are on track to bring it below 2 in the next 1 to 1.5 years. While we are in the peak of slowdown with the demand and consumption at multi-year lows, we expect second half to be much stronger on the back of steps taken by the government and RBI and lower transmission rates, transmission of low rates, good monsoon, initial resolution of NBFC issues and surplus system liquidity. Large infra spend will have multiplier effect. We believe sentiments are also improving, and corporate tax rate cut will mark an inflection point to resurrect the trajectory of growth. That brings end to my opening remarks. I have with me Mr. Sundar, Parag and Sanjay to answer specific question. I would now request moderator to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the attached-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Max Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Couple of questions. In terms of borrowing profile, as you mentioned, you raised $200 million. Other than that, what has been the incremental borrowings and from which sources?
Parag will answer.
Yeah. For the quarter, we have done close to around 5,500 crores of securitization. That continues to be a regular source. Even previous quarter, we did 5,700. The retail deposit program is also picking pace, regular good inflow there.
How much would
and,
that be?
Retail public deposit, what we accept.
How much would that be?
100 crores per month.
Around
100 crores per month.
Okay.
And the bank loans also have started coming in. We have done close to around 6,000 crores of bank loans in the quarter.
And these will be typically medium-term loans?
Yeah, this will be medium-term loans.
And sir, what was the incremental cost of borrowings for the quarter?
So it will be close to around 9%. Bank loans, when it comes to the new initiative of priority sector benefit for on lending, for priority sector, the benefit that goes to the bank, there the cost is much lower. It's close to around 8.5 to 8.75, between that range. Otherwise, I'll say overall cost is around close to around 9%.
And anything in the capital market, sir?
In the?
Any fundraise in the capital markets?
No, not much there. Some bonds have been done, but public issue we did for around 350 crores, 340 odd crores, which was a 3-year paper. So that was, and in fact, that was received well, and we are looking at further issuance of public issue of these bonds.
And then one final question on asset quality. There has been slight worsening this quarter. So any specific segment this has contributed from?
It is not the segment. There are certain geographies. There has been a little increase in the, I don't say it is increase. It is missing the, what called, jumping the bucket. So especially in the eastern market, where the mining activities were late to start because of the rains, and also in the western coast where there has been flooding, there has been certain slight delays that has contributed. But I think Q3, Q4, we should be able to recover very comfortably.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemant Sultania from CRISIL. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Two questions from my side. So firstly, on the disbursement front, what would be the number and what would be the breakup between new and used?
13,000. It is 13,120 total disbursement.
Right.
New is 666 crores and right. Used is 12,282 crores.
And so second question from my side would be that, so we're seeing that new vehicles, like you have also mentioned in case of CVs, have been slowing down continuously over the last 6 to 7 months. So do you expect, you know, this to impact the used CV market in the coming months as well? You know, do you expect the same to spill over to the used market as well?
No, normally what happens is when the new vehicle buying is reduced, that means the people who are having the existing vehicle are holding on for a little longer time. Instead of holding vehicle for 3 years, they're holding for 4 years. Therefore, there is some delay in purchasing decision. And therefore, the used vehicle transaction also would come down. But what we are doing is we are trying to reach to the newer geography. And we are adding more number of branches. So the reach is giving us the volume. We are only 25% of the market share. And there is enough scope and opportunity to increase the market share by creating a reach. So we are focusing on reach, and whatever is the postponement because of new vehicle sale being low, that would again come back to us once the sales start picking up.
Right. So one last question that was there. Sir, we are seeing the proportion of MN LCVs increase in the overall AUM mix. Has it been as a part of a strategy, or is it because of the ticket size that we are seeing an increase in the mix overall?
Strategically, we are more tuned to the LCV segment because we are more moving into the rural market. In the rural market, it's mostly M&HCV, medium and LCV vehicles are sought after. And the heavy, right now, it is going slow because infrastructure activities are getting postponed or stalled, infrastructure and mining activity. So I think this is going to be the trend. So LCV portion will definitely will grow in the next 2 quarters.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shweta Daptardar from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So two questions from my side. So what is the fully hedged cost for our overseas borrowings? And like you mentioned a while ago, if H2 is better off, then will you just quantify the overall AUM growth for this year?
Fully hedged cost will be somewhere around 10 to 10.2. It depends upon the what called scheme or the product. The H2 should be much better because we still are confident that the demand in the H2 will pick up. If moment the infrastructure activity and real estate activity start improving, there will be significant improvement in the demand. And the BS6 implementation, because of BS6 implementation, vehicle prices going up, that will create demand for new vehicle in the maybe last quarter. So that's January to March. So we expect the new vehicle demand also to come back into the market. So overall, I feel second quarter growth would be definitely much better. It will be maybe around double-digit growth, lower double-digit growth to higher single-digit growth, anywhere between 9 to 12% we can expect.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Haria from Multi-Act. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sir, my question was mainly on the asset quality side. Can you tell me the breakup of stage 1 and stage 2 assets?
Stage 1 and stage 2. Sundar, you have numbers? Yeah. Sundar Lan.
The stage 1 assets are 73,681 crores.
Okay.
And stage 2 is 23,724.
Okay.
And
yes.
Stage
yes. 23,724. Sequentially, sir, there has been a movement from 1 to 2. From stage 1 to stage 2.
No. The yes. Previous quarter, our stage 2 was 23,560, June quarter. As against that, it is 23,724.
Okay. And sir, on the 10.2% cost on foreign borrowings, that is the incremental 200 million, right?
200 million?
Yeah, on the incremental amount.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. If you look at your stage 2 asset, from say FY17 to the first half of FY20, like they have increased.
Rohan, I'm sorry to interrupt. We are getting a lot of static from your line.
Hello?
Please click on the handset if you are on speaker or.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes, it's better. Thank you.
Yeah. Because if I look at the stage two assets, they have increased from around 13% in FY17 to around 22 or 27% right now. From FY17 to now. Now, I just wanted to get your assessment on where do we see this settling and what has led to the increase in the last 2 years and what kind of, in terms of the incremental sourcing mix, is there any changes that we are doing in the processing or the credit processing that we are applying?
See, basically, last 6 months, if you look at economic condition, there has been certain slowdown in the consumption and economic activity, and therefore there has been jump in the buckets, but it is not really alarming because all our lending is against earning asset. And the depreciation of the asset is much slower than the what we lend. So there is a earning asset backed loan. So nothing really to worry about that. There will be one or two EMI delays. And we have strengthened our credit norms by reducing the LTVs for new and used both. 5 to 10%. Earlier, we used to lend 70% on the used vehicle value. Today, we lend anywhere between 60 to 65. On new vehicle, we used to lend 80 to 85 earlier. Today, we lend anywhere between 70 to 75. So, we have tightened our credit norms and have asked the customer to put more margins. So that, in that, thereby we are reducing the loan quantum so that the EMIs can be smaller in spite of we passing on the increase of interest cost on the fresh borrowers.
Right. Sir, in addition to LTV, any changes in the customer selection when we are onboarding? Any strengthening there?
See, the customer selection wise, we have been supporting the customer who are buying the vehicle for the first time, right from the beginning. If you look at the way we are doing business, it is not only that we choose the customer with a good track record with us, we also lend to the fresh customers who are buying a vehicle for the first time. But it's always guaranteed by additional guarantor. There is one more guarantor who is our existing customer who supports him. So when we are onboarding a new set of customer, the financial track record is not very important, but the financial track record of the guarantor is very important for us. So the onboarding of a customer, we don't really try to filter further apart from knowing the business, knowing the customer, and getting good guarantor.
And lastly, like in terms of the vehicles which we would have repossessed, in the current report, what kind of recovery rates have we seen? How was that number, we say, 2-3 quarters ago?
Vehicle repossession strategy has not really changed, and numbers also is almost same as what it was in the previous year. So it's approximately around 3,000 vehicles per month get repossessed, and some of them get released on payment, and some of them would be sold. If there is no payment from the customers.
Right, so when you are selling the vehicles, like what kind of a loss are we incurring right now on the auction loan amount?
If you look at our credit cost, it is around 2%. Around 1% of the credit cost is due to the loss in value of the vehicle repossessed.
Sure, sir. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhadeep Mishra from UTI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So just wanted to check what would be the average ticket size for your public deposits?
Average ticket size now it is around 1 lakh per deposit.
Okay. And also, sir, on the cash and the bank balance on your balance sheet, how much of that would be encumbered?
Do you have numbers?
1,000 crore will be the first
thousand. Around 1,000 crores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Darshil Shah from Capgrow Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions. So one is regarding the thing you mentioned about decreasing your loan to value ratio. So how has the competition been since you have done that? So what's the competition intensity since you have reduced your LTVs?
See, first of all, in the segment which we are operating, used vehicle, the competition is not really intensive. So we don't really observe what competition is doing, because most of the places the competition is the small lenders who are in the local area. We don't really see a corporate big corporate as a competitor. So right now, as of now, we are not really seeing or witnessing any competitive environment in our business.
And second question is regarding the BS6 implementation. So once that comes in from April 2020, do you see a severe pickup in the transactions taking place in the used vehicle space?
See, when new emission norm comes in, like BS6 vehicle comes in, that doesn't mean that BS4 or BS2, BS1 will have a lesser value. The vehicle does same activity or same, the performance remains same. Now, the new vehicle is because of the emission norm change and there is an additional cost. So, a BS2 or BS3 vehicle still would be plying, and the value of these vehicles would depend upon the economic activity it carries. So, if something is carrying a 10 ton to a particular distance, BS6 or BS2, both will be competing on the same route and they will be getting same price. But the BS6 is priced high because a better technology and for improving the emission standards. So the earning wise, the vehicles would earn same, but price wise there will be difference, because the maintenance cost of BS3 would be higher and the new vehicle BS6 vehicle will be lower.
Okay, so but how do you think that will affect the transactions taking place in the used vehicle? Do you see that increasing or will it stay more or less the same, like depending on the activity?
See, whenever the price goes up, the used vehicle price also goes up. Because imagine if a new vehicle is costing 10 lakh, if the used vehicle is costing 4 lakh, when the new vehicle price goes up to 11 lakh because of the emission standard, the used vehicle price also goes up because it is a replacement value. So used vehicle price also goes up by 50,000 to 1 lakh rupee. So that's how the used vehicle price normally moves up when the new vehicle cost goes up. Asset coverage for us improves.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening, sir. Good set of numbers given the circumstances. So I'll start off with my favorite question. How's the collection efficiency been? And especially in securitization pools and all, have you seen any dip in collection efficiency given that we are seeing payment delays across the economy?
Yeah, the collection efficiency, we are maintaining almost same collection efficiency as in the past. Only thing is the effort involved in collection is increasing. We have to do a multiple trip to the customer's place, or customers have to pay in parts. In both the ways, the effort of collection has gone up, and that normally happens every time economy slows down. So since we are in this business for 40 years, we have learned this hard way, and we continue to do that. And as far as pool or on balance sheet, the at branch level, the differentiation is not made. So the efficiency in collection efficiency at the branch level remains same for the both product, both segment.
Okay, sir. And you know, you also have this passenger cars segment, which is also an earning asset. Do you see any particular concern there, given the slowdown overall?
Passenger car has not really witnessed any change, but one thing what we observed is the new vehicle getting into passenger vehicle has slowed down. Earlier, 2-3 years back, a lot of new vehicle was introduced into passenger vehicle, but last 2 years we are witnessing less number of new vehicle coming into passenger segment, but people are preferring, operators are preferring used vehicle because of the earning on the new car is not significantly high. Because see, if you are in a city, if you are booking a Ola or Uber or even a taxi, you don't look at which model it belongs to, whether it is 2015 or 2018, you just sit on it and try to reach faster. So people have realized that the new vehicle is not a necessity, but as the vehicle gets aged, then automatically people will buy a new vehicle. So right now, I feel the new vehicle introduction into the passenger segment is little slow, and that has been the advantage for us. There has been demand for used passenger vehicle across in the urban and rural market.
Excellent, sir. Sir, just a couple more questions. One is in the operating expenditure that has gone up, which I can see. Is there any part, you said geographical expansion, is the expenditure going towards their technology or collections? Where is the expenditure going towards, sir, mainly?
Basically, it is new geography expansion, and also, as I told you, that since we need to make multiple trips, we also have added more number of people for improving our collection efficiency. Not exactly improving, to maintaining the collection efficiency, which is already good. So in that way, yes, we have been incurring little additional expenses. But technology definitely is playing a role. We are introducing technology, mobile-based technology, to improve efficiency. And also, the collection done through payment gateway is significantly improving every quarter. So we are measuring that. So there is more digital collection. And once we are able to reach out to most of the people and educate them on payment gateway collection through digital mode, then probably we should be able to reduce our operating cost further down.
Okay, sir. So one last question for me. There's been a good positive jump in the Tier 1 capital adequacy ratio, mostly because of retained earnings. I understand that in India's securitized assets won't get the capital benefit. But I also noticed that the pool of off-balance sheet or the direct assignment loans have remained pretty much static. Actually, it's come down a little. What would be a target capital adequacy ratio? It's looking healthy now, but what would be the target? And secondly, probably a question to Parag, sir, will there be an increase in attempts at direct assignment, because that will give you capital relief?
Parag, you would like to answer?
Capital adequacy, you answer, I'll end. The assignment, what we feel is because of this partial guarantee scheme, the volume should pick up, particularly from public sector banks, though there is a cap, indirect cap of close to around 5,000 crore per entity. I think that is something we should materialize in next 1 or 2 months. So there should be some increase in assignment route only because of this. Other than that, the regular PTC is only what we used to do with foreign banks and private sector banks. That should continue. The public sector banks, yes, 5,000 crore, I definitely see a big opportunity and should materialize in 1 or 2 months. Capital adequacy, I think the target is Tier 1 to be maintained at between 14 to 15%, and that will be the comfort zone for us. And tier two, we have the flexibility to borrow as and when there is an opportunity, or we feel that the overall target should be at around 17-17.5%. So when it comes down, we will definitely borrow tier two to maintain overall capital adequacy to be at 17+.
Thank you very much. Good set of numbers given the circumstances, and the debt holders won't complain if the capital adequacy is 16%. So please keep that in mind. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhuchanda Dev from MC Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have two questions. The first question is, there has been a steady expansion in the branch network in the urban areas, whereas the loan growth seems to be quite skewed towards the rural areas. So if you could explain this strategy.
Yeah. See, rural, we have been adding branches only to create a more reach. Therefore, the expansion in the rural is quite aggressive. As far as the urban market is concerned, our strategy is large branches. We are trying to split into multiple branches. More satellite branches we are opening in the cities, because in the large city, instead of being in the very center of the city, we are trying to move two or three branches in the satellite, in the 30-40 km radius as a satellite branches, to go closer to the customer. Because most of our transport operators are living outside of the city, so we are trying to reach more to them by opening a satellite branches. And also the infrastructure in the outer area also has improved significantly. So therefore, the more number of branches are being opened in the urban. So it's basically split in existing branch. Therefore, there is no increase in the AUM of the urban branches.
So you mean to say that you're basically introducing a smaller size branches in the periphery of the city?
Yes.
That is a strategy, and that has
Yes.
not resulted in an equivalent growth in the assets under management coming from the urban areas, right?
Yes, you're right. And maybe over the period, there will be definitely expansion, or the AUM will also increase, because once we are in the peripheral area, we will be able to concentrate there and increase our volume over the period.
Okay. So my second question is, one of the top-tier banks who are quite well entrenched in the new commercial vehicle market mentioned about quite a bit of drop in the capacity utilization and fall in the or stagnation in the freight rates, leading to some cash flow issues. So would you like to comment on the same or kind of share your experience of the market?
See, basically what happens is, in this kind of environment, when the capacity of the vehicle has gone up because of a government order, because
Right.
if you are carrying 10%, if you are carrying 10 tons, now you can carry 12 tons. 20% of the capacity has gone up for each of the vehicle. When you are able to carry more load, then automatically the scope for new vehicle or new addition becomes less. And temporarily the existing vehicle itself, you may not get enough load. That can be the situation or scenario. But that is not true in the rural market or in the agri-produce. If it is the agri-produce, normally the tonnage doesn't matter. So the quickness of transportation only matters. So the application is different in industrial goods and in the daily essential and the agriculture. So we are not really witnessing any kind of the additional capacity being there for the rural market or agri produce or day-to-day essentials. There has been little excess capacity as far as industrial goods transportation is concerned, and our focus always has been the smaller operators who carry the agri produce and daily essentials. So we have not been focusing on the industrial goods transportation. So we have not really witnessed a big challenge here. But I do understand that some of the fleet operators in the urban market have faced certain challenges because of this. But I think it is a temporary phenomena. And as and when there is expansion of economic activity or GDP, automatically this will be addressed.
So my last question is, in terms of collection efficiency, are you seeing or sensing any difference between your urban markets and rural markets? Hello?
We don't really see, because we feel both are, the only thing is the kind of approach or reach what you are creating with the customer, that is important. As long as you are within the reach of the customer, your collection efficiency is same, whether it is in urban or rural.
Oh.
Thank you. Sorry, ma'am, do you have any further questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. A reminder to participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one at this time. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Love Sharma from Lombard Audio. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. First question is regarding the, I think you mentioned the collection efficiency and there is some, you're seeing some minor delays in the payments. Could you quantify, if, you know, what has been the change in terms of these delays from Q1 to Q2? And is there any expectation of the asset quality going forward, any pressure on asset quality going forward? The second question is for the borrowing mix. What kind of incremental borrowings do you expect in terms of the mix going forward, and how much of any plans to do further ECBs during the next quarter and ahead? Thanks.
See, as far as Q1 and Q2, I don't really see a big difference. Some delay is there in from the corporate segment. When I say corporate, the industrial goods transportation, there has been certain delays due to delay in the payments. And that is already factored in because it has been there for more than 6 months to 9 months. So now people have factored it in. Earlier, payment would come in 15 days or 30 days. Now that has expanded to 45 days or 60 days. So that is already factored in. So I don't think there will be any further changes in that behavior. But as far as credit quality is concerned, I feel it will only improve in Q3 and Q4 because the agriculture output is likely to be quite good in the Q3 and Q4, especially rabi crop and the winter crops. So that would help the rural market. And also the infrastructure activity, which is in standstill, infrastructure and mining, because of delayed monsoon and extended monsoon, that would start again by November, December. So I think both these factors would make the collection efficiency or utilization of vehicle to improve. And we should have 30 to 40 basis point improvement in the next two quarters on gross stage 3 basis. Then the other question is, liability mix is already, there is some change if you look at. Securitization is increasing from 20% level to 25%. Deposit as a proportion is increasing to another 2-3% more, from around 10% to 12%. So these are all the changes, and the ECB is the new, or the new segment or new source which was not there in the past. So these are these minor changes, but it is just 5 to 10% mix changes. It will not have any bearing on the cost of borrowing.
So incrementally, is the borrowing mix going to remain as of the second quarter, or do you see any particular borrowing type getting more being utilized more than others?
I really don't think there will be further change, because supply chain would remain around 25%. The retail totally may, retail NCD plus deposit may be between 15% to 20%. And ECB probably next year when we add further, it can go up to around 15%. Like that, smaller changes would be there. But we will look at the best possible option at that particular time and take a decision.
Understood. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. If we go beyond our Q2 results, we are now almost, October is almost over, it's 25th October and now Diwali and so on. Do you have any sense or do you see any changes in the economic activity of our country as measured by your business? Do you see any changes in improvement? Do you see it's the same as it was last month? How do you see any changes happening? Is there some positive happening in our country?
As it is, we don't really see a big change, but there has been some positive trend. The agri output, which is likely to come into the market in this month, normally November, it should come, because the late withdrawal of monsoon has delayed the agri output coming into the market. Therefore, we are not really witnessing the immediate demand being created for the Diwali. Normally, so otherwise, by this time, the demand would have increased. But we still feel agri output being quite high this time because of good monsoon. There would be some positive news by November and December. And the government also is pushing on the infra project. We hear that many of the government, including state government and central government, calling for tenders and also mining getting opened. So a lot of news, positive news are coming. So hopefully that should translate into business activity, and that should improve the business sentiments.
So the mining activity and the capital goods increase that you see, you are estimating that this would come in this fiscal or maybe go beyond this fiscal, just as a guess?
No, it will come within this fiscal. We will not cross this fiscal. November, December should be the time it should come in. And once it comes in, then it will last till next monsoon.
Yes, the capital goods is okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Just wanted to understand from you, has there been any change in the spread for existing bank loans, and if so, some quantification on the same?
Please, can you repeat? We did not understand.
On the spread that the banks charge over MCLR or the benchmark, has there been any change in the spread that the banks charge for the existing bank loans?
No, there's no change as of now. In fact, there has been fresh source in the sense the on balance sheet lending for priority sector, which was not happening in between. Now it has started after RBI giving approval for the same. So I think that is something which will be new, and the cost of borrowing on that, it should come down for us.
Okay, sir. And secondly, sir, if you can share what share of our loans is given maybe towards the end use being industrial goods transportation and for mining activities or capital goods activities?
All put together, it will be around 15-20%.
15-20%. Okay. And so end use wise, like which component would have the maximum share? Agri commodity?
No. We can't. Mostly new vehicles would be in this kind of category. And it will be mostly banks.
Okay. No, so whatever vehicles that we finance on an incremental basis, how is the end use of these vehicles among, say, the various activities? Some color on that? Like, you only get 15-20% is for mining and capital goods. So what would be for the remaining 80% primarily?
So primarily, it will be a mix of agri and day-to-day essentials, because mostly the agri output will come from village to city, and from city to the rural areas, it will be basically FMCG goods and other essentials like milk and all. So it's basically day-to-day requirement that moves. So within that, we don't have further split of application.
Sure. So this will be around 70-80% broadly.
Yeah.
All these delivery. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for participating in this call. We are definitely quite hopeful in Q3 and Q4, because we do see scope and opportunity to improve our business, and also the collection efficiency will be much better because the environment will be much better is what we feel. So with hope to see you again in the next call and talk about our result in the third quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.